It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
6-4 on opening day. They put up a 4 spot in the ninth inning. I don't know how you're feeling, Shasky. I just want to relive what happened in the ninth inning.
Let's do it.
It starts with a strikeout. Willy Adames, a strikeout.
He got kind of overpowered in that at bat.
I don't know how you. This is how my brain works. I'm making his Giants debut.
I know.
Up in the ninth inning, down a run.
Endear himself to Giants fans.
This is the moment, Willy.
You and me
hit
think
the
alike.
Home run. Come on.
Strikes out.
We're very similar sports fans. Now I'm learning about that.
Strikes out. I'm thinking, oh,
and
God.
He strikes out where
for
he falls
four with
to the
three
ground
and
on one knee.
Oh, no.
You know what I call that? Like the swinging over the top. Like, bro, just put something in play.
Yeah.
0-4, 3 Ks for Adames. And then immediately, your brain might go to the same place. Immediately, I think, oh, God. Now it's probably over.
Yeah.
Now it's probably over. And then Jung-Hoo Lee draws a walk,
mm-hmm.
and he fell behind 0-2, I believe, on that at-bat. Fell behind 0-2, draws a walk after 0-2. Second walk he drew.
One more second
before
you go on Jung-Hoo Lee. Can we get this man a helmet that fits? Every single time he swings and misses, the helmet falls off. Every time he runs, the helmet falls off. The point of the helmet is to stay on the head. You're not, I love him, but you're not Willie Mays, all right? Let's get this man a helmet that fits. Continue.
Well, the other thing, you're talking about the oven mitts and all the swag.
Yeah, the accessories.
The accessories that a lot of baseball players, specifically young baseball players, like. So it's kind of cool when you're running around the bases and your helmet flies off.
Yeah,
that's how fast you're moving.
But I would say to you that, like, to me, I know everyone's like, pitching, that's why you need the helmet. You don't need them running the bases. Errant throws could take you out, too. Like, an errant throw from the outfield or running down the line from home to first.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've seen people get smacked in the back of the head. That'll take you out. I mean, that will take you out. So I get why it looks good. But the reason why you wear it is so you don't get hurt.
Yeah.
It's not for like sliding and hitting your head on the back. It's literally running around the bases so you don't get clocked in the noggin.
I hear you. I'm not saying it's a smart thing, but it's the popular thing.
And it does look cool when your hair is flowing like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Because he's got great hair.
And Ellie is one of them, too. Okay, so Jung-Hoo Lee draws a walk after falling behind 0-2. Runner on first, one out. Giants still down a run in the ninth. Matt Chapman, professional AB.
Just a great at-bat.
Goes the opposite way, pokes it through the right side. And on the play, Jung-Hoo Lee, the ball is lined like right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He manages to get that secondary lead, but avoid the ball and then immediately take third. So first and third, one out. Then immediately my mind shifts to, all right, they're going to do this. They're going to tie this thing up.
Fly ball. That's all I'm thinking. Fly ball. Just get me a fly ball. Sack fly. You're scoring Jung-Hoo Lee because he has speed.
Yep.
Like if that is a slower player, like for years, Brandon Belt, he's got a great OBP. How many fly balls weren't deep enough for him to be able to tag up and score on.
A lot.
And this is why Lamont Wade Jr., and I'm not trying to harp on something, but when you're a leadoff guy, traditionally, part of what's baked into that is the ability to tag up and score on a not-so-perfect fly ball, on a ball that, you know, maybe other people don't. And that's one of the things. When I watch these younger, more athletic teams, as we go kind of like basketball here, they're able to generate runs in a variety of ways because speed doesn't have slumps.
And to be fair to the previous regime, it's something that Farhan and everyone else identified as what the team needed.
Yeah.
Like they did, a couple off seasons ago, we got to get younger,
and faster,
quicker, and more athletic. And they didn't really do that, but they said they were going to do it. They said that it was a goal.
Yep.
Didn't really work out. They are a little, and Jung-Hoo Lee was a signing from that regime, and that's a big part
of it. Tyler Fitzgerald was a draft pick during their time,
yeah.
and he's a faster player for how big he is.
Chapman, same thing.
And Second in stolen bases last year to Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and that was a signing that regime made.
Good
so
call.
They did get a little bit, you know, younger, more athletic, quicker, which is a good thing, and that was a big reason why they had a first and third situation. Then Ramos strikes out on three pitches.
I was so deflated.
You can't take that 0-2 pitch.
No.
Anything close, you got to try to foul it off. And he's shown ability to do that. He did it in the fourth inning.
And that's the thing that was so frustrating. But it's also like, hey, look, hitting's hard, right? I want to grant him that.
You're going to get got. It's
a hell of a pitch. It's also a guy who pitched in two games last year. It's not their traditional closer, which is another element that we haven't even brought up today.
True.
Their number one or their top closer is a guy that most people would never have even heard of. He's out. And you have a guy in there who's throwing frisbees. And that's a funky at bat. That guy pulls the ball out of the glove as he's throwing. He is not a traditional pitcher. He's a funky at bat. And Ramos got completely fooled on that play. But you gotta put that ball in play. You have to go down swinging. You can't go back to the dugout in the first and third with one out in the ninth inning and not take the bat off your shoulders.
Yeah, even if you don't put the ball in play, it's better to swing and miss.
100%.
Then to leave it up to the ump on a borderline pitch.
100%. And he started arguing as like, oh boy. And out comes Pat Bailey. His at-bats were a mixed bag in terms of the eyeball. So I didn't have a ton of faith right there.
Yeah, leading up to that at-bat, Patrick Bailey was 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts.
Didn't look good.
And then he shows up, and maybe it was just simply not facing Hunter Green anymore, which I could understand.
Yeah.
He shows up, and he manages to fight through an at-bat. Oh, he got ahead 3-0.
Yeah.
Got the green light, fouled one off, and then on the 3-1 pitch, again, we talked about it earlier, just the simple, smart baseball play, just line it up the middle, nice and easy. You watch that swing back, he wasn't trying to do too much, he wasn't trying to hit one out, he wasn't trying to find a gap in right center, just nice and easy, right back where it came from, under control, simple baseball swing, and the Giants tie the baseball game up. That was a really, really good at-bat.
Carter, you got that one? Because the feeling I had on the couch and from that dugout, I jumped up like, let's go, let's go. It felt like one of those omens for the season.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Oh, I thought you had it ready to roll.
It's not right on hand here, but I'm going to grab it for you. Don't worry.
Carter's efforting it. He'll have it in a second.
Oh, but that was great. And then Wilmer stepped up right after that and hits that big-time jack. And you could feel the noise from the Bay Area jumping off their couches, high-fiving at work or however you were consuming that particular game.
How fun was that for you, Giants fans? 888-957-9570. Because I know for Shasky and myself, we've been waiting for that for a long time. And not just because it's opening day. Obviously, we've been waiting the whole offseason for Giants baseball again. But we've been waiting to just feel that kind of way about this team again. And it's only game one. We might be overreacting. But it just feels a little bit different. That feels like a game that they've lost like countless times in the past handful of years. And they managed to find a way to win it. And it just... It's easy to say the vibes with Buster versus the vibes with Farhan, but you can really feel something different.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at how the team reacted to each other after that ninth inning. Like, look at how Willy Adames is ready to tackle people from joy. Like, I think he's going to be a fan favorite, man. I think he's going to be a big time fan favorite. And I think that the way that he conducts himself is exactly what this team absolutely needed. They needed somebody who not only was a good player, who could play every day defensively, but just had some moxie and some emotion. They lacked that the last couple of years.
You want to hear the Patrick Bailey RBI single? Here it is.
Give it to me.
Patrick Bailey, NBC Sports Bay Area.
Bang.
This game is tied. Bailey comes through. It's 3-3.
missed the beginning. Let's hear it again. Here it is. Oh, there it goes.
And, you know, I was thinking about on that particular play, had the shift been in place, maybe there's a shortstop up the middle. Mm. Maybe he's off to the side of the bag, right? Little things like that. I know that sounds kind of interesting, but like that, there's more balls in play. There's been more ground balls, and this is why having an elite infield with range matters with the no shift now more than ever.
Also, can we talk about, and we mentioned Jung-Hoo Lee's speed. But just him being on base a couple of times, he didn't get a hit. 0-for-2, 2 walks. I feel like,
but that's what to me, this is why he needs to be a leadoff. That's a great leadoff game. That's a 1980s leadoff hitter. That's the Brett Butler, the Darren Lewis's. Mm. You know, pick who you want. Those guys are, hey, I'm going to grind it out, see a bunch of pitches to force the pitcher to show me his repertoire so everyone else in the dugout gets a good look. When I'm watching Lamont Wade swing at the first pitch yesterday, I'm thinking, come on, man. Like, this is where inside baseball stuff overrides the analytics. I want you to have 7, 8, 9 pitch at-bats so that everyone in that dugout gets a look at what this guy has today.
Yeah. A couple of interesting texts just came in. 888-957-9570. The 707, and shout out to the 707. That's my neck of the woods. Says, we've been missing the chain-hanging, one-cross, gold earring player with clean style. True, the Giants haven't had
good point.
A player with swag like that. But I also think about the way the Giants won the game yesterday was not courtesy of that kind of, like, I think of Ellie De La Cruz as that kind of player, right? He's
no
got
doubt.
Oozes that swag, and he's
no
got
doubt.
The long hair and all that. The Giants won yesterday by just playing, like, simple, straightforward baseball, and it's the emphasis of what Buster Posey's, I don't know, regime has been all about, and we spend so much time, you and I do, thinking about this. We don't necessarily talk about it every day here on 95.7 The Game, but we spend so much time thinking about, oh, when's going to be the next Giant to hit 30 home runs? We haven't had one since Barry Bonds. It's been forever. Every team in baseball has had at least one 30 home run hitter in that span, except for the Giants. But you know what else? The Giants won 3 World Series without a single 30 home run hitter. Like, there's ways to win baseball games if you don't have not even just an elite power bat, but a decent, like, 30 home runs is nothing special in today's baseball, but they won 3 World Series without it. There is a way that you can win without that kind of baseball, and yesterday was that kind of baseball.
I'm telling you, it's this word. You're going to hear it all the time in all the sports, but in baseball more than any other. Situational ball. Mm. It's first and third. How can we get a run home? Defensively, it's first and third. How do we negate the running game and get a double play and get out of the inning? Right? Like, all situational baseball. They're better at situational baseball. That's one game. We'll see how it stacks up. But already, driving in runs that are in scoring position, having unbelievable two-strike approaches like Elliot Ramos did, that's situational baseball. No, you should not swing the same way in a 2-0 count that you do when you have two strikes. No, you shouldn't. Your approach should be different. And so, situational baseball, I can already see an IQ upgrade. Mm. I can see it.
I'm with you. It's pretty clear. And it's exciting to see as a Giants fan. How happy are you? How excited are you, Giants fans? 888-957-9570. What was it like when you see those guys celebrating in the dugout, coming pouring out of the dugout on that
so
Flores
fun.
Home run? 888-957-9570. We'll get into that. Plus, what is a successful season for the Giants? Also, we've got shameless shout-outs coming up at 745, so you can line up your calls beginning in a little bit. Also, Bonte Hill on the way. He'll be in studio at 9 for the full 9 o'clock hour here, along with Shasky and myself on 95.7 The Game. That is what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Happy Friday. It's a Giants Victory Friday right here on 95.7 The Game.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The game of the year thus far. I think it's a must win. New Orleans's injury report came out. This is from Tim Roy. Boston, out. Left ankle, stress reaction. Jones, out. Right shoulder, torn rotator cuff. McCollum, out. Right foot contusion. Trey Murphy III, out. Right shoulder, torn labrum. Murray, out. Right Achilles rupture. Zion Williamson, out. Lower back contusion. You want to talk about a game that if you lose, the sky is literally falling. It's this one.
Beginning of the year, that is at least four, if not all five, of their starters that will not play. And now some of them have been out for the year, and there's no surprise.
Yes.
But, yeah. I mean, this is a New Orleans team that has been bit by the injury bug like no other team in the NBA this year. It's absolutely wild.
They have to win this one. I mean, now it's like I'm going to be on pins and needles until this one starts. Jimmy Butler, you better show up. Like, I'm dead. Like, after what you did laying an egg, and we'll get to it, but I want to explore some. I want to get back into the Giants. Like, Giants fans, how great did that feel? Just how you feeling this morning? What a great win. But Mark Grandy.
Yeah, what's up? Real quick, before you do that, we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. We got shameless shout-outs at 7:45, so we're coming up in about 20 minutes. Get your calls lined up, and we got Bonte Hill on the way at 9, joining us here in studio. What's up, Joe?
So, like, there are these memes that I'll see all throughout the internet, and one of my favorite ones that I always send to some of my buddies is, okay, everyone has practice tonight. And we have games, and we have things, and recitals. We can either have dinner at 4 or at 9:30 at night, right? And that's kind of like the life of anyone who's trying to balance work and family and all the extra school activities.
Yeah.
And I look at people like you, young men, and I'm so jealous. You come in today. Show the audience what you got. That is a – it looks like a shake.
It's a smoothie.
It's a smoothie, okay? The fact that you have the
Carter
time –
Carter says it looks disgusting.
The
looks
time,
like sewage.
The time and the wherewithal to make yourself a really nice protein shake, I'm just jealous.
It takes 5 minutes.
I wish I had 5 minutes. You know what my 5 minutes is? It's me scrambling to like enjoy 4 minutes of coffee with no one tugging at me at my collar to do something. I'm so jealous of the life you live. You're not weighed down by responsibility. You're not weighed down by bills, by wives, by kids.
I got some bills.
By stress, by other family members. I'm so jealous.
Well, you were once my age.
What are you doing tonight, for example? Like, what does Mark Grandy have on the docket for tonight?
Watching the Warrior game. What are you talking about?
All by yourself. Just feet up. Just that's it.
Maybe. I might go out and catch it with a couple of friends. but I haven't decided yet. But, I mean, I got to get ready for our broadcast at Friedman's tomorrow, myself and Sam Lubman. 12 to 3. Tune in.
The minute I get off of work here, I'm like, all right, what am I going to get? I got to get some food. I got to eat. All right. Then I got to go to the grocery store. And then I got to go to, you know, I got to go to the laundry and I got to pick up all this dry cleaning laundry. And then I got to go back home. I got to fold more laundry. I got to do more laundry. I got to clean up. I got to take the dogs on a quick walk. They got to use the bathroom. And then I got to go to the bank. I got to make a couple payments. I don't even have time to breathe. And I'm sitting here looking at you and I'm so jealous of your life, which is why when the Giants win, the way they did yesterday, me doing all those mundane tasks I'm talking about make me feel so much better.
What's so great about baseball, and I know I'm saying this and it's not the case today because the Giants are off today because an area like Cincinnati, is it possible that yesterday's game might get rained out, so you want to have an open day today, which, okay, whatever, it's not great. But the great thing about baseball, and it's especially true when your team is at least fun, maybe not great, but fun, it makes the day so much better. Because you have a game to look forward to almost every evening.
100%.
Every evening. No matter how annoyed you might be during the day, and you just mentioned all of the things that are on your mind that you have to do once you get out of work. Oh, Giants, 7 o'clock tonight. Verlander's pitching. All right, I'm locked in. Can't wait.
I can't wait. And that's the beauty of baseball. You know, I know Marty Lurie, the mosaic of baseball, right? Like, that's what he always would say. And he is right, though. Like, you know, all the other sports, the way I would describe them is they're like passionate affairs. Whereas Giants baseball is like a marriage. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's times that you want to scream and rip each other's eyeballs out, you know? But you're in it for the long haul. Until you're not. But you're in it for the long haul. And so that's the way I view Giants baseball this summer. It's going to be great, man. I'm so excited. And I feel like I'm watching a brand of baseball that I can appreciate. Mm. You got a bunch of hard-nosed players that have chips on their shoulder to prove that they are worth the money they're worth. Or to prove that last year's All-Star game for Elliot Ramos wasn't an aberration, that he deserved it. That Mike Yastrzemski is still a really good ball player. That Jung Hoo Lee can play and be healthy in the big leagues. That Pat Bailey can finish a full season. That Logan Webb is a legitimate ace, even though we all think he's an ace here. But there's a lot of people around the baseball that probably don't put him on the upper echelon lists that he thinks he's deserving of. Can Verlander still play? Does Robbie Ray have anything left after the Tommy John? You know, there's so many question marks about this team, and they feel very, very, very hungry. And they're led by a guy in Bob Melvin, who I think a lot of people think's just overrated. And I saw Bob manage that game yesterday like it was a do-or-die type of a game, and I appreciated that from him.
Something struck me yesterday watching the game, and with all the strikeouts early on, you had a number of players who were like 0 for 3 with 2 or 3 Ks, 0 for 4 with 3 Ks. I wonder if in past iterations of Giants teams, you get to the ninth inning, and you got a reliever that comes in, if we would have seen a pinch hitter or two.
Well, maybe even, like, I was thinking the Pat Bailey situation. Like, do we go to the righty? Because the righty hits 5 percentage points higher against righties than what Pat Bailey does or whatever it is. Well, and then there's, like, hey, three-batter minimums. You know, there are certain situations where I felt like the Giants overthought things on these before the three-batter minimums. Like, we have to go to the lefty right now. Well, dude, this guy's dealing right now, and you're going to bring someone in cold off the bench. So yeah, there's a lot more gut, it feels like, that are baked into these decisions, and a lot more like we're gonna ride or die with our best players.
Yeah,
like, don't get me wrong, the data is gonna influence some of the decisions.
It has to. There's a balance,
of course. Like you'd be naive not to, but it's not gonna paralyze us on every single decision all game long. I'll never forget this. Like, when I saw Evan Longoria get pinch hit for in the fourth inning, so what are we doing? What are we doing? And Evan Longoria was ready to kill Gabe Kapler in the dugout. Like, just kill him. It was just, and I kind of felt him. But, like, and that's what that team used to do.
And we got shameless shout-outs coming up in less than 20 minutes. So anybody or anything you want to shout out, get your calls in, line them up. We'll go to you at 7:45. There's also something to be said for even if your guy is struggling, even if your guy that you start and has had a rough game, even if he's not the greatest hitter, like, and Patrick Bailey might fit in that description. Mm-hmm. He's had great moments. The end of last year was really, really rough, but he was pretty good for the first couple of months. Even if that is the case, and you don't necessarily believe that this is the best situation for him necessarily personally. There's something to be said for just showing faith and trusting your dude and giving him those opportunities.
There's nothing worse than sitting in the on-deck circle, looking over your shoulder, because the game's already so mental, and you're going, are they going to pinch hit for me?
Or you're at the plate when you weren't sure if you were going to get the at-bat. You got the at-bat, and then you're thinking, oh my God, if I strike out here, I might not be in the situation ever again.
It's a great point. That's exactly it.
And if you're thinking that in the box, it's already over.
You're cooked. It's a great point. You're absolutely cooked. I mean, I truly believe Joey Bart, part of that, like all of the stuff that you just represented.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I watched him barrel up a couple balls, and he was struggling, and the guy could never get his footing because he's always looking over his shoulder. I think at times the young players for the Warriors have felt that exact same way. I think there's a correlation to that. And so there is a tolerance level that you need to just allow people opportunities to fail.
Yeah.
You just do in sports. And it's hard because every game matters, right? You're bringing up some of these guys on the Giants. Pat Bailey is a great example. I don't think he has to be a great player to have a great career. And what I mean by that is that, like, if you're a one-sided player in baseball and you just hit enough in clutch situations, you can have a great 12 to 15 year career somewhere. Brandon Crawford was not a great hitter, but he was clutch. And you kind of always thought he was going to somehow deliver when the moment mattered. And he played great defense and carved out a 12 to 15 year career in baseball.
A great career.
Absolutely. The catcher position, similarly, yeah, I'd like to have some offensive output, but you don't need to be Buster Posey to have a heck of a career. You can be a great defense-first guy, and the bat can kind of pick and choose its spots like he did yesterday and have a hell of a season and be a guy that we just got to plug into the lineup every single day.
Patrick Bailey does not, like, I don't think many people realize just how valuable he is to a team just purely based on what he does on defense. And it's not just throwing runners out or discouraging runners from even trying to steal in the first place. It's framing pitches.
Mm-hmm.
The best pitch framer in baseball. It's why, and I think you probably feel this way too, if Major League Baseball eventually goes to the automated strike zone, Patrick Bailey's value decreases significantly. Because the pitch framing, you're just tricking the umpire. You're tricking the human behind home plate.
Well,
there's no tricking an automated strike zone box.
I don't like the way you say tricking because it makes it seem like it's foul baiting. Like, you know, because...
But it's a ball. It's a ball, and you're just so good at framing that it looks like a strike.
To it. There's an art to it. There's an art to how you catch it, how you squeeze the glove based on the inside, outside. There's where you set up. There's so many things that go into it. To me, there's an art form to it. Right? In the same way that, like, a defensive back like Richard Sherman was savvy with how he used his hands, and some would say, oh, that's defensive holding. That's, you know, a PI or whatever. And I would say, no. That's savant level, you know, sophisticated play at the highest level. With using your brain and using your skill set.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is a skill. So I draw a difference, but I get what you're saying. He does have tremendous value. His arm, for me, is also a valuable weapon. On a team where they don't hold runners on very well and you can only throw over to first base three times, right? Like, that's important. Teams can time it up. And you see a lot of the guys on the Giants staff, Logan Webb being one of them, has the high leg kick, which enables an extra couple of steps for a base stealer. It's really hard when you're a catcher trying to mow someone down and they get a great jump on you because you don't hold them on well. You have a high leg kick. By the time I receive the ball, that guy's farther down the base path. So I think we underrate his athleticism behind the dish and his arm behind the dish as well.
You were talking about Blake Treinen for the Dodgers. We were doing this off air before the show. He's the closer, at least he closed last night for the Dodgers. They ended up winning 5-4. They're now 3-0. Whatever.
God, I hate them.
The Tigers put up a good fight.
Kreidler made a hell of a catch.
I saw
in
that.
Field.
Yeah.
Hell of a catch.
Teoscar Hernandez hit a big 3-run bomb.
God, I hate them.
Teoscar Hernandez. But he's on the bump with a runner on first. Who was the runner? I forget.
Gleyber Torres.
On first. Blake Treinen, the long, slow, high leg kick. And Gleyber easily steals second. Did not give Will Smith a chance to throw him out.
Who's a great player.
And, like, so you have pitchers like that, and having Patrick Bailey back there is one of the few catchers out there who can kind of neutralize those kinds of pitchers. Now, he still might not throw him out super often. The reality is not a lot of catchers throw out a ton of base stealers. You're way more likely to successfully steal the base than you are to be thrown out when you're trying. But, I mean, I think there's just a lot that goes into Patrick Bailey's value that goes beyond the way a lot of us think about his
no
value.
Doubt. Like, we watched Blake Snell last year not really trust Patrick Bailey, and he was going to call his own game with the pitch comp thing, and it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. Yesterday, Logan Webb, who didn't have his best stuff, gutted it out and found a way to get through that game. What did he get? I think he went six. I think he went
five.
Five. There you go, five. How many times did he shake off Patrick Bailey?
I can't recall.
Exactly. They're in sync. You know, there's something to be said for throwing to someone you're comfortable with, who understands how to attack hitters and understands your stuff and how to navigate you not having your A game and still get through that game. Maybe if it's a, you know, less seasoned catcher, you don't get through five innings with Logan Webb yesterday. I mean, he was on the rocks a couple times.
Oh, he was. He was in trouble. He was in trouble, but he fought through it. I think the larger thing about the Giants, Shasky, and I think everything individually that we've been talking about kind of all goes into this same bucket. If the Giants over the course of a season just make the smart baseball play and they don't commit the fatal mistake, they're not necessarily going to be like this incredibly flashy team. And hell, they might not have a hitter that hits 30 home runs again this year. Whatever. They might not win 95 games. They might not. They probably won't win the division. But if you just, over the course of 162 games, Shasky, you just out-execute every team that you play, you will win a lot of baseball games based purely on that. Baseball is such an incredibly long season, and there's so many individual plays that go into a single game, a single inning, a single at-bat. If you just are a net positive on every single play in terms of your execution level, you're going to win a ton of baseball games. You don't have to be super flashy. You don't have to have four 300 hitters and three guys that hit 30 home runs and four guys that drive in 100 RBIs. Like, you don't have to have that to win baseball games. If you can just like live by the mantra of like death by a thousand paper cuts, you just do that over and over and over again, you will be a good baseball team.
You're talking basically right into my, you know, into my soul here. It's called free 90s. This is what I call it, right? We want to eliminate free 90s. What's a free 90? Okay, you'll walk a guy. That's a free 90.
Hit by pitch. Hit Brian by pitch. Walker in the ninth inning.
Pass ball. That's a free 90. You boot a ball. You throw to the wrong guy. You throw to the wrong bag.
You miss your cutoff.
Exactly. That's a free 90. How do you win games? You get the free 90s. Yesterday, ninth inning, Jung Hoo Lee taking the first to third, free 90.
Even just the walk.
Exactly. Right? And so you have to capitalize on those things, and you're 100% correct. And the last couple of years, they haven't capitalized on any of them. That's why it's been a really difficult watch for me, because everything that they did was against my core baseball principles. And it like was offensive, quite frankly. It really was. Like, think about the Bochy era. All the things that we saw yesterday is exactly the hallmark of what we had during the Bochy era. Cardiac kids, we're going to play small ball, we're going to make the most out of the least, guys overachieving, hey, bullpen being solid and holding down the fort, my pitcher getting through a game when he doesn't have his best stuff, and then hanging on for dear life and winning the game. That sounds like a Bochy win.
It does. And, by the way, when you play that kind of baseball, maybe it doesn't translate to 105 wins and a division crown when you're in this kind of division, but what it does, if you make the playoffs, you mentioned speed never slumps. That play style also translates so well to playoff baseball.
There's no doubt.
Like, you watch a single game, like a wild card game, that's one thing, but like a baseball series, a 7-game baseball series.
Why did the Yankees lose?
They made more mistakes than the Dodgers.
Game one was a masterclass in defensive gaffes, and that's why they lost that series.
The Freddie Freeman grand slam. Shouldn't have even been in that situation.
Shohei taking the extra base on the Gleyber Torres backhand with nobody backing him up. Like, all the free 90s. So you're 100% correct. And the Yankees were a great team last year. Why did they lose to Dodgers? Because of all the little stuff. The
Dodgers are also a great team. But yeah, the little stuff.
It's always in the margins.
And the Dodgers are incredibly talented, and it's to the point where it feels unfair, but they're also a team that is pretty fundamentally sound, and they do those things well for the most part, too, and that's why they were so darn good.
I'm totally with you. Let me ask you this one, and I know we wanted to do some like first impressions on the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
For Warrior fans, look, top of the hour, we're going to get into the Warriors. I promise you. huge game. A huge game. You got to hear what Steve Kerr said about Jonathan Kuminga.
And we got Bonte coming on at 9, and we're going to talk Warriors with Bonte, of course. Pre and post host NBC Sports Bay Area.
What?
Of course.
So, Sam, you wanted to do first impressions on the Giants right now. Just look, and these are just snap good. Never judge a book by its cover.
And really quick, shameless shout outs in 7 minutes. So line the phone calls up. Whoever you want to shout out, get them in.
First impressions. Don't judge a book by its cover, or maybe we should. I'll throw some names at you. First impressions. Jung-Hoo Lee.
Encouraged. Very encouraged that he is going to be a piece on this baseball team that makes winning plays on a consistent basis.
Okay, I
both
like that.
Both offensively and defensively. Gets on base, speed, and a solid defender in center field.
First impressions. Tyler Fitzgerald at second base.
Smooth defensively.
Much better than I
thought. Smooth defensively. Feels like that might be the spot for him.
Absolutely.
Didn't see much from the bat yesterday, but...
That's okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. Willy Adames with the purple glove. The guy that, you know, has the largest contract in Giants history. A lot of people don't watch Brewers baseball. I don't knock them for that. You're learning about a new player who's going to be your shortstop for quite some time. What'd you think of first impressions of him?
This might be... I don't know. This might make some people cringe out there. I'm going to use a word the Warriors like to use. A connector. He brings people together, Joe Shasky.
I like that a lot,
0 for
actually.
4, 3 Ks yesterday, but, I mean, you know the bat's going to come around.
Yeah.
He makes everybody in that locker room and that clubhouse feel more comfortable.
First impressions, the bullpen as a whole.
Mm.
Going into the year, there's a lot written by a lot of the beat writers about, they only have one lefty. And his name's Eric Miller. What did you think of the bullpen as a whole yesterday?
They looked great yesterday. Ryan Walker was the only guy who gave you any concern, but you got shutout innings from Randy Rodriguez, Eric Miller, and Tyler Rogers. I'm in on the bullpen.
Ryan Walker, in general, first impression of him for this year as a closer. Are you worried?
I'm not worried.
Okay, not at all.
I'm a big fan of Ryan Walker,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know yesterday wasn't great. Gave up a hit, hit a batter, deep fly to left.
I think he's an important
track.
Player for this team.
No doubt he's important.
I want to make that clear.
No doubt he's important. I think it's way too early to be talking about a battle for the closer spot. That's his until something changes big time. I'm a believer in Ryan Walker. I'm not worried.
Okay. All right. No worries. All right. The connectivity of the team, the chemistry of the team, the aura of the team. What's your first impression of the 2025 Giants?
It feels like Giants baseball.
Wow.
It feels more like the Giants that we know and love, right?
I'm not wrong, right?
It's kind of like what I said yesterday where it's just like there is the vibes that were there back during the Brian Sabian era, whatever anyone wanted to say, like it was a great time to be around that team. It was a team that truly enjoyed being around each other. They had fun with each other, and that was infectious for the fans. That was the vibe I saw yesterday. We're talking about how everyone's going nuts for that Wilmer Flores home run. Like, it almost feels like we're in the dugout with those guys, going nuts with them over that. And that is, like, we got Chris in San Jose on the line right now.
Oh.
He's going nuts about that. I'm not trying to set up a call or anything, but, like, he's talking about, like, I'm so excited about the vibes right now. And, like, I'm excited because, like, when's the last time people were just calling in being excited about the vibes of Giants baseball?
I want to hear from him. Let's bring him on. Like, I want to hear about the vibes. Like, what's his first impressions of watching this team? What's up, Chris, man? I'm pumped like you are. I know it's one game. People are going to say I'm jumping the gun. But, like, I can almost taste the difference.
Oh, you love the... Hey, gentlemen, good morning. It's rainy out here in the Bay, but it's beautiful. Baseball is back. The vibes are immaculate. We're way up right now. I mean, you know, we'll wait for the Warriors to come back. Looking forward to hearing you guys talk about that. But the vibes are immaculate. The stay-die attitude... 2010, 12, 14, what was it? It was torture, baby.
Yeah.
Never say die. Hope springs eternal. Yeah!
Hey.
We're back, baby!
Let's go, Chris.
There is something about the old candlestick bleacher creatures where the never say die attitude, the hum baby attitude, if you will, like they used to have these pins, okay? Everyone's going to go the Crow to Craw candlestick pins, but they had hum baby, never say die, and then the one that I still have, I've got a bunch of these old pins, because they used to give them to you out in the bleachers or in the family pavilion if you stayed past the seventh inning. Dodgers eat. And then it's a poop emoji, if you will, emoji or image. They didn't have emojis back then, and die. So there's just something about the Giants culture for Giants fans. We love being kind of the scrappy underdog.
Yeah.
I think that Giants fans really do love it. And it's, I'm sure there's some A's fans out there going, the scrappy underdogs. But for a long time, they were.
They, and They are like in the category of the haves versus the have-nots in baseball. Like they have a big payroll and they have the ability to spend a lot of money, but like they're not the Yankees.
Or the Mets.
They're not the Dodgers. They're not the Mets. They're not the Red Sox. They're not those teams. Shameless shout-outs coming up in just a couple of minutes. Anybody you want to shout-out on this Friday morning, anything you want to shout-out, it could be the Giants, it could be your mom, it could be your husband, your wife, whatever, give us a call, 888-957-9570. Line those up now for shameless shout-outs. We'll go to that in just a second. We did get a text that just came in,
Chassie. Yeah, give it to me.
From the 415. It's been one game, fellas. Relax.
It's totally fair. I get it. Like, and trust me, you're talking to the guy who doesn't relax. And I'm well aware of what my strengths and flaws are.
True.
But, like, again, like, I think we've identified 15 different areas where, like, it's one game. I get it. We'll see after 30, 40 games. We'll have a really good feel of who this team is. It just feels and looks a lot different than what we've seen the last couple of years. It just has. Like, you referenced the platooning. Yesterday's lineup would have been righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, and it would have been a bunch of one-way players at the every single turn.
And then when a lefty came out of the pen, they would have changed one of those lefties and pinched it a righty.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe it would have worked, maybe it wouldn't have, but...
Exactly. And so you also would have had Gabe Kapler standing at the top of the dugout, you know, furious, like he's ready to just strangle someone. And it's like, Gabe, relax, dude. Just relax a little. You know, and I do think that this team needs to lead themselves in the sense of the players are going to drive this thing. I know we talked a lot about Kapler. We talk a lot about Bob Melvin. We give Bochy a lot of love. But the reality is that the players are going to drive this thing. And during baseball, that's how it works in baseball. Yes, in football, the coach is very influential, calling every single play. Yes, the NBA, the team will take on the identity of a coach. Tibbs, like, lording over everything.
Oh, my God.
You know, Tibbs. Like, his team takes on that identity, right? That's why Josh Hart is so important everywhere he goes.
And why they always struggle in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Because they play him too much.
Exactly. Phil Jackson, his teams would always be calm. He's sitting there with his legs folded. You know, they take on the identity of the team. In baseball, your top dogs are going to set the tone for your team. And Willy Adames is a top dog. And Matt Chapman is a top dog on the team. And Logan Webb is a top dog. They're setting the tone. And I think that that's the way it has to work for this thing to turn around. It can't come from the manager. It can't come from the executive suite. It can't come from an Excel spreadsheet. It has to come from guys that are digging into the dirt and that are jumping around on the grass. I'm sorry. It does.
Yeah. Shameless shout outs in a sec. 888-957-9570. Get your calls in now for whoever or whatever you want to shout out. You were asking me a couple of first impressions. What's your first impression of Willy Adames?
I just think that he is a guy that they've desperately needed since Pablo Sandoval. There's something about, like, there's different cultures in a dugout in baseball. You've got a lot of Southern American influence. You've got a lot of Dominican influence, Latin influence, however you want to categorize it. You've got a lot of, like, what I call the hard-nosed white boys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're going to have. And now you've got this huge Asian influx of baseball players. And I think the type of team that you put together, you need gel guys. You need guys that can unify the locker room and bring guys from different cultures that maybe do speak different languages or come from different backgrounds and stuff to kind of come together for a common cause. I'm not saying you got to be best friends, but I know this. Jock Peterson taking guys' money, playing cards, wasn't unifying the dugout. No, you're laughing. It's the truth.
No, I know.
It's not unifying the dugout, you know? And when I look at like a guy like Mike Yastrzemski, he's a really nice player, but he's not a rah-rah unifier guy. I think he's a hard-nosed, lead-by-example guy. And having a guy who can unify an entire 25-man dugout is really important. And so when I see Willy Adames, and I see that home run by Wilmer Flores, and I see him coming out, and he's hugging Jung-Hoo Lee, and he's like throwing violent like high fives and stuff. Like, dude, this team has needed somebody with a pulse forever. And like, leadership is, it comes in so many forms. Steph Curry is a great leader, but he is like a lead by example guy.
Yeah.
And I think at times I've wanted him to project his voice a little more. And I think he picks and chooses his spot. Tom Brady was quiet early on and became the boisterous, loud leader on the sideline over time. Not everyone has that in him. Willie looks like a leader, acts like a leader, plays like a leader, and clearly his peers really gravitate toward him.
Yep.
because I watched the way they react to him reacting, and that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's really, really well said. All right, it is just after 7:45 on a Friday morning here on the Morning Roast, which means it's time for Shameless Shoutouts.
Better not lose this game. This is a must win.
Well, we'll get into it on the other side of this break. But first, we also have a little bit of Warriors news, and that is with our injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, injury report time, and for the Warriors, another bit of bad injury news. Gary Payton II has suffered a partial tear of the ligament in his left thumb. He will not play tonight against the Pelicans. Tip-off is at 5, Warriors live at 4. He'll likely miss most, if not all, of the Warriors' final 10 games of the regular season. Any timetable for a return will be determined in 1 week when GP2 is reevaluated. Tough injury news there for the Warriors. That is our injury report, brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And Joe Shasky, injury report a little further. Steph Curry still officially questionable for the game today. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
I mean, yeah, we'll get into it. I just got notified via text something big.
What?
It's not a breaking news sounder,
but scared me.
From my boy Matt Murphy, tell that St. Stephen's fourth grader that St. Gabe's will be beating them in the baseball title. I guarantee it.
Guaranteed.
Oh, no. I love the CYO smack talk. I really do. I live for it.
Warriors in New Orleans, 5 o'clock tip-off today. This is a huge game. Fingers crossed Steph Curry is back. If he's in, if he's not, the Warriors got to get this win today. That's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's the Morning Roast on a Friday. Joe Shasky, I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. Warriors talk coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.